Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We are still considering verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 5, where Peter talks about the need for humility. He says, "Yea, all of you, be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." That's actually a quotation from the book of Proverbs. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Peter takes up that statement and includes it in his first epistle. James takes up that same statement from the book of Proverbs and includes it in his epistle because it is such an important matter. And both of them have altered the wording of Proverbs just a little bit to give it a more New Covenant context. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God marshals his armies against the proud, is what that means, but gives grace to the humble. He gives favor to the humble, but it's undeserved favor. It's not that our humility earns God's favor, but that God humbles us before he's willing to dispense any great measure of his favor. In fact, let's just be very honest about it. The very state of humility comes because of the prior work of God. That in itself comes as a matter of his grace. God's favor makes us humble. And then, in that state of humility, God bestows more favor. In ourselves, we are not naturally humble. As sinners, we are not naturally humble. As fallen sons and daughters of Adam, we are proud, and God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, and if we're going to be humble, we're going to have to be made humble by God, and therefore we need to seek humility from God. It's a very important matter, isn't it? And so we continue talking about it on this Wednesday, July 9. Doing so because radio listeners help us with your financial support. God gives grace to the humble. God humbles us, first of all, to grant us the grace of salvation. Proud sinners are not saved sinners. Now, Jesus Christ saves sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. If you're a sinner, you are a candidate for salvation, but a proud, unhumbled, defiant, arrogant sinner will never be a saved sinner. He will first be humbled. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. But God not only humbles us to grant us the grace of salvation, but God also continues to humble us to give the grace necessary for us to live a God-honoring life as Christians. That comes by God's grace. I hope you don't become proud because you're serving the Lord, you're obeying his precepts, you're living like you ought to live. If you think you are, you probably don't understand the requirements very much because nobody is living completely the way that God requires us to. Nobody is. That's why we need salvation. That's why we need cleansing. That's why we need the righteousness of Christ, because we can't produce our own. Even as Christians, we can't produce a righteousness which is enough to satisfy a holy, righteous God. It's not only true before we're saved that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but it's also true after we're saved that we continue to sin and come short of the glory of God. You do understand that, don't you? If you don't understand that, then I'm afraid you are blind and proud, and you need to be humbled so that you can see the truth of what God's Word is telling us. Yes, God humbles us in order to grant the grace of salvation, and God humbles us in order to grant the grace that is necessary for Christian living. So the question is, since we need humility, and we can only receive it from God, but are there any things that we can do to prepare ourselves for the bestowment of God's grace and the development of humility? Well, I would suggest a few things. Number one, if you're a Christian, recall the humility you experienced when God first brought you to Christ. Can you remember that? Can you remember how distressed of soul you were, how aware you were of your sinfulness and your unworthiness, how God brought you to repentance before He brought you to a strong faith and assurance? Do you remember how God made you so aware of your sins and you were ashamed of them and you realized that you were deserving of condemnation and you are desperate to make things right with God? Now you realize, looking back on this, that this was the work of God's Spirit in your heart. It's what we normally call conviction. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. That is, He convinces us of sin. He drags us, as it were, before the judgment bar of God and makes us feel guilty for our sins. We hear that accusation of the accusing attorney, the devil, or whoever it may be, who is rightfully parading our sins before us and correctly ascribing them to us and reminding us of our unworthiness and our guilt. And God uses all those things to make us cry out for mercy, to make us embrace Jesus Christ by faith, to make us understand how much we need Christ. Because nobody exercises saving faith without being humbled. If you haven't been humbled, dear friend, you haven't been born again. Not yet. May God use this radio broadcast, among other things, to bring you to that place. Do you remember what Jesus said? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What is He talking about? He's talking about people who have been humbled. And nobody experiences saving faith without humility, but God the Holy Spirit humbles us because, as Peter tells us, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And if you have no experience of this kind of humbling, then what claim do you have to salvation? Your claim to salvation is an act of arrogant pride. You are claiming something that is not yours, that you have no right to claim, that you have stolen, as it were, this label of Christian and this claim to salvation because it is not true, it is not real. You have never been humbled, you have never been convicted, you have never been brought low, you have never been brought to repentance and faith, you have not yet been saved. But if you have truly been born again, remember the humility you experienced when God first brought you to Christ and ask Him to give you that same humility again. Number two, realize that God continues to humble us all throughout our earthly sojourn. That's woven into the fabric of sanctification. We are justified by faith, and we are justified when we first believe in Jesus Christ. But we are being sanctified all throughout our earthly sojourn. And that means we have to be humbled again and again and again and again. Because even as redeemed sinners, we continue to manifest sinful pride, and therefore we continue to need to be humbled. And God knows exactly what we need in order to humble us and in order to diminish our pride. And therefore, we should submit ourselves to the humblings that God brings to us, because God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, Peter goes on to say in verse 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. When God brings crushing, bruising, humbling experiences into your life, don't resist, don't lash out, don't chafe, don't challenge, don't resent, but rather allow these things to break you and to humble you, because they will sanctify you, and that is how God brings more grace to you, as we submit to God's humbling providences in our lives. Because, you see, if we resist, we will require greater humblings to make us yield. We'll require greater pressure, greater breaking, greater difficulties, greater reminders of our weakness and our total dependence upon God. For God is committed to molding us into humble Christ-likeness. Remember, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's a description of the man Christ Jesus, the perfect man, the exemplary man, and the kind of man that we are being molded into as we are being formed into Christ's likeness, as we are being brought back into Adamic likeness before the fall. Adamic perfection, which is actually Christ-like perfection. And we'll never get there, of course, until we get to heaven, but we're working in that direction all the time we are here upon the earth. And a great deal of that requires humility. In fact, humility is not only what is required to get us to the goal, but humility is the goal. To be humble like Christ is to be godly, is to be useful, is to be mature, is to be exemplary to others. And so you need to remember the humility you experienced when God first brought you to Christ, and you need to realize that God continues to humble us all throughout our earthly sojourn, and therefore embrace his humblings and submit yourself to them as quickly as you can, remembering that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Do you want God's resistance, or do you want God's grace? I know which one I want, and this text tells me how to acquire it. May God help me. May God help you. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give us his eternal peace.